Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Good morning.
You all right? I hope you are. Hope you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, fighting fit, raring to go for the day ahead. Rise and shine. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. It is just gone 8 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time on Tuesday, the 10th of February in the year of our Lord 2026. I'm, as always, joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm good.
Good. And you are the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. Thank you for joining me on Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show. Bo's Breakfast Club. The BBC. Hashtag the real BBC. All right, shall we just dive straight into it then? The never-ending story of the corporate mainstream media. Oh, there's a poll gone up. Check that poll out. Click on it. Doesn't cost you anything. Why not? It's good. It's good stuff. Interaction. Yeah, so let's just jump straight in. What is the corporate mainstream media attempting to spin directly into your mind this morning? Okay, it's more almost across entirely across the board still. Just the fallout from Epstein, Madison, and now just Starmer. It's much more just Starmer. There's a bit about Andrew and King Charles, but it's mainly just Starmer. Starmer clinging on. Operation Save Starmer. All of that stuff. So the main headlines are Streeting accused of coup. Very, very weak-wristed nothing burger coup. Barely even an attempt at a coup. But he's accused of a coup, and King will help police. King Charles III will help the police to investigate Andrew's alleged possible crimes. All right, let's jump straight into it. The Daily Telegraph, the Tory Graph, we've got a picture there of where Streeting. Looks a bit heavy. Hey. Not missing meals, is he? Wes? Old Wes. Streeting accused of number 10 coup. Starmer clings on after briefing war and insiders saying, we know who's behind this and his name rhymes with Les Wheating. All right, so what has really changed in the last 24 hours? Well, probably the biggest thing I would say. There's a couple of things, two or three data points. I suppose one of the biggest things is that Tim the Tall Man Taylor has left Downing Street. He's resigned. Not Tim the Tall Man Taylor, Tim Allen. Not the actor Tim Allen. There's two Tim Allens. There's the actor Tim Allen, Tim the Tall Man Taylor. Got nothing to do with this. But the executive head of communications at number 10 is also called Tim Allen. All right, it was a poor joke. All right. Why did I waste so many seconds on that? A guy called Tim Allen was was one of Keir Starmer's closest aides after Morgan McSweeney, the head of communications. Tim Allen himself had only been there since, I think, September, because their last head of communications had to quit or just decided he wanted to quit. Only a few months back. So that's quite a big thing, coming only about 24 hours or so after McSweeney himself leaves. And again, your head of communications, right, wasn't Alistair Campbell, Tony Blair's head of communications. It's like, it's a really, really, really important position in number 10. Super, super important. I imagine whenever there's a crisis in number 10, serious crisis, whatever it is, you'd get your chief of staff and you'd get your head of communications around you first and foremost. What are we going to do and how are we going to spin it out to the outside world? Right, so if your chief of staff and your head of communications both quit or leave for whatever reason, That's pretty massive. I mean, that's part of the narrative, part of the story that Keir Starmer's going for, that he wants a new start. He's going to build a new team around himself at number 10 in the middle of the worst crisis you've ever had as Prime Minister. Okay. But that's the angle that, you know, it's like we're going to do a new start. We're going to have a clean slate, all that sort of thing. Again, like I said yesterday, trying to make himself seem, appear clean as a whistle again. And many people in Labour, short of, you know, summoning the stones to actually call for him to leave, have said, you know, maybe we could do that if we build a whole new team in number 10 itself. You know, maybe that will do the job. So whether it was completely against Keir Starmer's wishes, whether he was pleading with Tim the Toolman Taylor not to leave, or whether he's like, no, you've got to leave, don't know, it's not exactly clear, but whatever, he has left. Few insiders, people that really know what they're talking about, you know, professional journalists where they spend all day, every day, just trying to get tiny tidbits of information of what people are thinking in and around the seat of power. You know, they say that there's very few people around Starmer now that have been with him for years and been with him since the beginning of his time in number 10. He only ever had a very, very small team anyway. Of closest advisors, that is, closest, the most innermost sanctum of power around the person of the Prime Minister. Different Prime Ministers, different Presidents, all different leaders do it differently, whether they have that team of like the innermost people is dozens, or whether it's just three or four or five people. Well, apparently, Starmer's was always small. So one of the things people complained about him, that this very small number of people gatekept him. I mean, I'm just thinking now, it's just literally just popped into my mind about Richard Nixon, that he had Haldeman and Ehrlichman, his two main gatekeepers, the two closest men to Nixon. And eventually they had to resign within the Watergate thing in the early 70s. Once they were gone, again, it was just a matter of time, really, till the rot got to Nixon himself. So anyway, Tim Allen, not the actor Tim Allen, has resigned. And so it's just another like a leg to Starmer's stool has been taken away. He hasn't got many left now. All right, what other things happened? The leader of Scottish Labour, Anas Sarwar, he came out and said Starmer should go. It's quite a powerful person in Labour. I mean, relatively, like being leader of Scottish Labour, you could make an argument. In one way, they're quite powerful. Their voice matters. They have sway. You could also argue it's not a big deal at all. Like any given cabinet member has got more power. How do you really measure these things? But nonetheless, it's not a nobody. Well, it's not an absolute nobody. But so yesterday, all hung in the balance. Really, like he could have been gone by the end of the day yesterday, people are saying now. Because he had a big meeting with all his Labour backbenchers. Big meeting in the Palace of Westminster. And, you know, if that had gone terribly, if they'd been like hollering for him to leave, and all the cabinet ministers have been doing the same thing and threatening to resign or just actually resigning one after the other over the course of the evening, you know, it would be over. Again, actual political commentators, the ones that sort of stand outside those rooms and wait for people to come out and instantly get the inside skinny from their friends, they were saying that it really did, it was hanging by a thread. If that big meeting had gone differently, we could, by this morning, have the interim David Lammy as Prime Minister, right? But it didn't. He just about clung on. They're saying now where his leadership, he was playing it hour to hour yesterday, he's now in a position to play it day by day. So he's actually, you know, a stay of execution. One of the papers says exactly that he's got a slight stay of execution. Because basically all the cabinet came out yesterday and did tweets or just briefed the mainstream media and said, we still stand behind Keir Starmer. Again, just like a prime minister having to come out and make a statement saying, so-and-so still has my full support. That's already dodgy. You shouldn't need to say that. So it's the same with the other way around. If all the cabinet members said, the prime minister still has our full support. Yeah, it's in the mail. I still think now, I think that we'll see what happens. He may hold on until that by-election in Manchester, which is 2 weeks on Thursday. There you go. And if they lose that, I would have thought there would be another another round of him clinging on by his fingernails. If they lose that, I feel like he would go. I would put money on that he would go very shortly after that, if they lose it, or even if they win it by like a tiny number of votes. If they win it by like under 100 votes or under 200 votes or something, or they scrape by with like 13 votes or something, even that would be really bad. And if they get trounced in it, you know, if they come third or something, doesn't look good. People always put so much emphasis on by-elections. But there you go. I mean, I obviously hope they lose it. But there's Wes Streeting there. We'll get into exactly what he attempted. It wasn't really all that much, really. The other big story of the day is this headline here. Palace ready to work with police over fresh Andrew allegations. So as I mentioned yesterday, it's come out, isn't it, in the DOJ dump, that Prince Andrew, or as it was, Andrew Sex Coburg Gotha, may well have done things that are actually criminal beyond just soliciting prostitutes, that he actually sent sort of government information onto Epstein, sort of business level insider government information. I doubt it was all that sensitive, but I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know. There's no reason really for me to speculate on that, but I doubt it was, you know, terribly secret. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. And it seems now that the police are investigating him. Or it's sort of, some headlines are saying it's likely to happen. It may happen. And others are saying it sort of is happening. Either way, the story that the corporate mainstream media seem to be going with, the angle of it all, is that the king, King Charles III, old Chucky boy, sausage fingers, is definitely going to work with the police and not sort of obstruct them in any way. Yeah, good. Yeah, you're not above the law. Some people, even particularly Brits, have got a strange idea about monarchy, about the person of the sovereign, how powerful they are. Like that they're above the law. See people on Twitter and things talk about how, like, you could never prosecute the king or anything like that. They're above the law. That the entire state, the police, just like work for him. They're like his personal possession or something. Not at all. Not at all. That's not how it works at all. Hasn't for centuries. So yeah, I mean, the king hasn't got a choice but to cooperate with police. Oh, how gracious of you to work with the police. You've got to. You're not an autocrat. You're not a czar. You're not an 18th century czar. Yeah, you'll work with the police. Yeah. All right, let's read the blurb because it just sort of gives us everything we need to know about the day's stories. Health Secretary Wes Streeting has been accused of attempting a number 10 coup, reports the Daily Telegraph in its top story. It characterises his publication of texts with former British ambassador to the US, Lord Peter Mandelson, as an attempt by Mr. Streeting to neutralise any obstacles in a future leadership contest. Okay, so that's one of the things. Wes Streeting published, I don't know if it was screenshots or not, but he put out there various messages back and forths, text messages that he's had with old Mandy in an attempt to sort of say, to sort of show, you know, to pretend he's doing a full hangout, going, look, this is everything I've got to do with Mandelson, and look, there's nothing weird or dodgy in it. I definitely, you know, I didn't take any money from him. I wasn't giving him secrets that he then passed on to Epstein, nothing like that. So I, Wes Streeting, I'm clean. We'll see if that's 100% true or not, but there you go. That was what he did. That was his attempt to do that. And, you know, some people would claim that that's very cynical. Well, not particularly cynical. It's not a stupid move at all if I was Wes Streeting and I was clean. Why not do that? What have you got to lose? Some people are saying that's part of his leadership bid. That's, you know, sort of exactly there, paving the way to remove any obstacles for himself should he decide to go for the top job. Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Why not? If you're clean, though, what's the problem? I always think that if you're in any sort of hot water like this, like even just normal people, right? You just work in a normal office, but there's some sort of scandal or disgrace going round. Someone dropped the ball terribly in some way and got themselves fired. Even if it's just, you know, just a completely normal office, whatever. But you absolutely had nothing to do with it. Absolutely had nothing to do with it. But people think you did or suspect you did or something. You've got a way to just come completely clean about everything. Just put your hands up. Look, here's everything. Do that. Why not do that? I don't know. All right. So it goes on. Lord Mandelson's appointment to the position came at a time when it was publicly known that he had maintained friendship with the late Jeffrey Epstein after his conviction for paedophilia. The appointment has come after fresh scrutiny after the publication of the latest Epstein files by the US Justice Department. The BBC understands Lord Mandelson's view is that he answered questions about his relationship with Epstein in the vetting process accurately. Lord Mandelson has not responded to requests for comment, but the BBC understands... But the BBC understands his position is that he has not acted in any way criminally and that he was not motivated by financial gain. So that's just what Mandy's saying. I didn't really do anything wrong, certainly didn't do anything criminal, and it wasn't all about money. And yet won't give an interview to anyone or talk publicly about it, because obviously his lawyers have said to do that. Dodgy and shaky as hell, isn't it? All right, the Times, the venerable Times. Look, the Prince of Wales is in Saudi Arabia at the moment. Wills. Weak-willed, empty shirt. Prince of Wales there. Happy to say globalist things. He's in Saudi Arabia now, standing next to MBS. Mohammed bin Salman there, the basically the leader of Saudi Arabia. He's not the actual king, is he? This is a kingdom as well, isn't it, Saudi Arabia? He's not the actual king, but anyway, he's the leader, de facto leader. Completely implicated in all the Epstein stuff, by the way. I'm not sure if he actually went to Little St. James, but one way or another, he's completely... I think he might have done. Anyway, I'm not sure, but he's complete... Yeah, he was on the Lolita Express. I think, I might be wrong. Don't sue me, MBS. Even if he did, he's still definitely an associate of Epstein one way or another. Whether it's to do with sort of salacious, scurrilous sex scandal stuff, or whether it's just, you know, high international politics, doing shady deals off the books type stuff. Either way. Again, our corporate mainstream media don't really want to talk about that much. Most people in the world seem to be absolutely terrified of MBS one way or another, don't they? Oh, don't say MBS. Oh, don't mention MBS. Oh, don't piss off the Arabs. Oh. Whatever. All right, so the Times says, PM comes out fighting as cabinet falls in line. So, yeah, basically yesterday, Salman was saying, apparently he was saying, I've never lost a fight. I will never give it. He's going to get stubborn. He's an old school lefty, isn't he? He'll get stubborn. He'll get as stubborn as he possibly can. Never just give in. If you remember not that long ago, last year, was it the Archbishop of Canterbury resigned? There was only a little bit of pressure. Barely anyone was really sort of asking him to step aside. I mean, a little bit, but there wasn't a great deal of pressure. But he just bottled it and resigned. That's not going to happen. Starmer's not going to do that. He'll have to be sort of forced. It'll have to be absolutely clear to him that there are no avenues left for him before he would do that. Anyway, he came out yesterday. Came out. PM comes out fighting, it says there. Yeah, you see, he was saying stuff like, every fight I've ever been in, he must mean politically, because we've all seen him hitting a punching bag. He's never been in an actual fight, has he? You can tell he's never thrown a punch in anger, ever. So he's never been in an actual fight, but he's talking about verbally, politically, every fight he's ever been in, he's always won. Yeah, well done. Yeah, because you're a total globalist shill lefty, the path was cleared for you. You never had to, probably never had to make any, have any real fights, fighting for your political life. So yeah, what that's worth, every fight he's ever been in is won. Ooh. Ooh, you're odd. Where's your handbag? Handbags at dawn. Streeting accused of bottling bid to oust leader. Yeah, it does seem like it. It does seem like he bottled it. I mean, West Street himself seems like an extremely weak man, doesn't he? Politically. I mean, it's a bit of a... He does seem like a bit of a scared sort of starling of a man. He's not a terrifying presence, is he, Wes Streeting? He's not like a titan of a man, an intellectual titan, is he, Wes Streeting? He's not like a political force dominating a room or anything, is he, Wes Streeting? Yeah, no wonder he bottled it, yeah. Of course, yeah. He definitely did. He definitely did as well. Just got in line, just tweeted out whatever. I still completely back Sakir. All right. Again, palace to support police's Andrew inquiry. They haven't really got a choice. All right. The Financial Times, that thing about that Chinese dissident. He's a Chinese person. He's a Chinese person who's found guilty of sedition in Hong Kong. Don't care. Don't care. Ugh. Again, ugh. Just get away from me. Even if he is basically innocent. I don't care. It's not our story. He's got a UK passport. So what? Okay. Starmer defies calls to stand down as allies accuse Streeting of fueling crisis. Effort to soothe MPs. Backing from cabinet. Contender denies charge. Scottish leader deals blow. There you go. So that's all of it in a nutshell, right, really, isn't it? Apparently everyone in Labour, all the people that came out in full support for Keir, people like Liz Kendall. I saw such a cringeworthy interview with Liz Kendall for, like, I think Sky News. And she said, yeah, no, Keir Starmer is the right person to stay. I've got complete support for him. Just such hollow stuff. He's the right guy. When the Tories kept changing leadership, the country didn't like it, so we're not going to do that. It's still going to happen, though, isn't it? Even if it's after, even if it's in May. Still going to happen. I would have thought, you know, that take could age absolutely terribly. But I doubt it. I really doubt it. Apparently there was a bit of, what do you call it, sort of briefing wars, briefing and counter-briefing. When you say briefing, all that is talking to the mainstream media. That's all that really means. Apparently whilst Wes Streeting was giving an interview to Sky News, while it was happening, Number 10 themselves were briefing another organ of the corporate mainstream media, saying that Wes Streeting is trying to undermine us and stuff like that. So it's all a bit, getting a bit backstabby. I mean, that's how it sort of crumbles and falls apart, really, isn't it? Because if Wes Streeting feels like he's being completely undermined and completely getting backstabbed by Number 10, to the point where he can't do his job or whatever, and then he resigns, one of the biggest fish in the pond, one of the biggest beasts in cabinet. It's crazy to say that, that Wes Streeting is one of the biggest beasts. Sort of nothing man, Wes Streeting, but there you go, if he resigns, and then others that are loyal to Wes Streeting or think they'll get a top job should somewhere down the road Wes Streeting be the Prime Minister, if he quits, they'll quit in solidarity with him, along with him, and then it starts to crumble and fall apart. And Starmer's authority, for whatever it's worth, starts to truly crumble, and then someone else goes. And then there's sort of no, there's only like a third of the cabinet left within 48 hours. And then it's over. It's over. Right. Keir Starmer starts to try to pick new people, new Labour MPs to fill those spots. And they're like, no, I don't want it, the job. At that point, it's over. That's sort of how it will play out or might play out. US embassy denies top executive visas over petty offences going back to the 70s. And the article is a bit like, oh, isn't that bad, Mr. Trump's evil immigration policy? No, that's fine. That's the way it always used to be. If you had any criminal record, you just couldn't even visit America. That's the way it used to be. Unless there was a very, very special case. A very, very minor thing, like you had some sort of traffic conviction for something or other. Yeah, you can't get a visa to go to United States. That's the way it used to be. Well, and I've got no problem with that. I would like to have that for this country. If you've committed a crime, any crime, in a foreign country, you cannot even visit the UK for a holiday. That would be fine with me. Happy with that. Anyway, Trump's now just enforcing it the way it always used to be. There's even a story where John Lennon, we're talking back in the 60s, John Lennon had a very, very minor criminal record, something, I can't even remember what it was. It was something very, very minor he'd done as a young man, right? But it was sort of, he did have some sort of criminal record, I believe. And then when he wanted to go over to America, you know, to break America as being in the Beatles, he had a bit of trouble. He couldn't just immediately just get a visa and go. He had to sort of make a formal request to the embassy and say, look, can you treat me as a bit of a special case? Because, you know, we're the biggest band in the world. We're bigger than Jesus. Their words, not mine. Don't have a go at me, Christians. You know, I'm one of the most famous people in the world, kind of, at the moment. Can you do me a visa, please? And they ummed and ahed and was like, oh, I don't know. It's not really what we do. It's not the rules. But in the end, they did. Of course, in the end, they did. I mean, at the end of the show yesterday, there was that on this day in history, there was that they were on the Ed Sullivan show, weren't they, for the first time? Live from New York. So anyway, that's just normal to, like, not let criminal people come to your country. That's actually normal. And Trump's sort of trying to enforce that a bit, or the Trump administration. But of course the article is Mr. Evil Trump's gone mad. He's a megalomaniac. He's gone mad on power. TDS. One of the worst maladies of our age. I would say that tea's gone cold. I'm going to have to revert to water. All right, what else have we got? The Daily Express. Oh, it's a good paper. Final nail in coffin, that's a quote. Final nail in coffin for Starmer, a Scottish Labour leader urges him to quit. Yeah, why would you expect loyalty from Anas Sawa? Why would you expect loyalty from a man like that? Bit naive to have ever thought you might be able to rely on him in difficult times. All right, resign now! Exclamation mark. That's just the Express's editorial line. That's not a quote. That's the Express saying that. Resign now! The word has come down from the editors of the Express. They're going to decide who is in government and who isn't. Resign now! Exclamation mark. PM on brink as calls to go mount. You're right, calm down. Calm down, the Express. You're not kingmakers. Well, they can access it a bit, can't they, sometimes? The corporate legacy mainstream media, the print media, Fleet Street, do still have quite a bit of power, don't they? Sort of more like soft power. Of course, being able to dominate the narrative for so many normies, still just believe whatever they read or go along with whatever they read in it. Okay, The Guardian. The Guardian. I'm not prepared to walk away, embattled Starmer tells MPs. Aren't you? Good for you. Good for you. Well, we'll have to remove you then, won't they, at some point in the not-too-distant future. I bet you're not prepared to walk away, yeah, because it's the best, most powerful job, most ego-stroking job you will ever have in your life. You'll disappear essentially into obscurity, and your name will become shorthand for a political joke once you've walked away. So I'm not surprised you're not prepared to walk away. Yeah, the money, the power, the fame, the prestige. Yeah, of course you're not going to walk away. Cabinet rallies behind PM after Scottish party leader tells him to quit. Yeah, so I don't know how surprising it is really that the cabinet have stuck by him for now. And not just the cabinet, you know, the majority of Labour MPs at that meeting yesterday. Again, if they'd all spoke together as one, saying we're sort of demanding you leave, and if you don't, we'll start doing vote of no confidence stuff. How surprising is it that they didn't do that? I don't know, there you go. But that's what I said yesterday and at the end of last week, wasn't it? A note of caution, where people were saying on Wednesday evening, all through Thursday, Friday, over the weekend and into Monday, saying, it's over, he's toast, he's done. Well, ultimately, yes, but not right now. Not right now. I think my take has been vindicated a bit. Well, it has been vindicated, basically, isn't it? But it's not imminent. He will still be Prime Minister for the next few days, at least, at the very, very, very least. I said yesterday, maybe this is the last Monday he will be Prime Minister. I suspect he'll still be Prime Minister on Monday, the next coming Monday. I suspect. But then that by-election. And then there's another number of other things, aren't there, in the not-too-distant future, which could be really, really embarrassing for him and his position. Okay. King, quote, ready to support police over Andrew. All right. Rainer for leader site briefly appeared online. Yeah, apparently it's a little story that, some website popped up calling for Angela Rayner to be the next leader, to gain support and all that sort of thing. But then it sort of disappeared off the internet again quite quickly. There you go. Whether that was anything to do with Rayner herself or Rayner's team, who knows? But that did happen, did seem to have happened. The Metro. The god darn Metro. How long? Just that. How long? It's a terrible, it's ridiculous. Ridiculously bad journalism and writing and takes from that. Maud PM wins cabinet backing for now. How long? Just a headline. Failure Starmer must go over Mandelson scandal, says Scottish Labour leader Sarwar. King Charles heckled on when he knew about Andrew's sickening links to sex offender Epstein. Now, I saw that a couple of different times now, where Charles is going around doing the business of being a working royal. You know, like opening a hospital or a library or something like that, or visiting a war memorial, whatever it is, all sorts of various things like this. Going to some sort of charity building and shaking the hands of everyone that's lined up there, all that sort of stuff, whatever it is. I think I've seen a couple of different times now people just shouting out to him, just heckling him. I could only imagine he hates that, absolutely hates it. But then you must have known your brother was a sex pest. Let's put it that way. Just a sex pest. You must have known it for decades. Not to mention your own connection with Jimmy Savile. Extremely dodgy connection with Jimmy Savile. Yeah, King Charles, you think you can just get away with it? Just pretend everything's fine? Like that you're not implicated in some degree? The stink of it doesn't somehow transfer to you? It does. Yeah, a lot of that family are wrong'uns, the Saxe Coburgs. They're German people. What? George I, the Elector of Hanover, was brought over. They're German people. Queen Victoria's husband, Albert, entirely German. What is Albert? If Queen Victoria would be, well, like the great-grandfather, Prince Albert. The Saxe Coburgs, they're German. All right, the Mail. King's profound concern over Andrew claims as palace ready to work with police. Really? Now it's a profound concern. At this stage, it's a profound concern, is it? Only at this stage. Prepare to work with police because you've got to. Like it's really brave, like it's a great stand or something. When in fact it's the opposite. They've done everything they could ever have done to prevaricate and to block and protect Andrew. Everything they could have possibly done for decades. Just stonewalling people for decades. Anyone wants to try and get any information about, because there's been There's been whisperings, there's been rumblings about Andrew for years and years and years and years. And the Palace would always be, no comment. If anyone tries to do anything further than that, they're like, you better not write anything about this, otherwise you'll never ever get any access ever again. You know, like royal correspondents, people that write royal biographies, that sort of thing. You better just shut up about it. You better not write anything about it, otherwise you're dead to us, you're done. We'll ruin your career, etc, etc, etc. Oh, but now the brave King Charles is ready to work with police. Okay. Cabinet bounced into giving PM stay of execution. Like a bouncer, bounce you out the club. They've been bounced into giving a PM stay of execution. Ministers finally backed Starmer after silence for 24 hours, an ominous silence. They finally all came out on Twitter. We do still support the Prime Minister, actually. Okay. Markets wobble as Scottish Labour chief says, go now. Rival West Streeting locked in briefing war with Downing Street. All right. The Mirror. Royal bombshell for Andrew. Charles pledge to cops after brother hit by more claims. Monarch reveals profound concerns over the allegations. William and Kate say, thoughts with all victims of abuse. Oh, I bet that'll make him feel better. All victims of abuse. Kate and William are thinking of you. Are they? King, we'll help police. Oh, how good of you. Well done. Slow hand clap. Well done. Thanks. After years of stonewalling. All right. The Star. Even the Star goes with it. The Epstein Files latest. King, we'll help police. Chaz and Wills. King Charles I and William, the Prince of Wales. Chaz and Wills, deeply and profoundly concerned. Yeah, I bet they are, because it undermines the monarchy, the very monarchy itself, doesn't it? Yeah, I bet they're concerned for themselves. The Sun, King will help cops on Andy. Profound concern. Okay, the same thing over and over again. All right. There you go. That's the never-ending story of the corporate mainstream media. Telling you what they think you should think is important today. All right, we've got a poll. I think we did the poll about the royals, didn't we? All right, what was the wording we put? We put, will King Charles throw his brother under the bus? 65% of you say yes. 22% of you say no. And 13% of you say maybe. With well over 1,100 votes on that. They go, yeah, so because if it undermines the king himself, I think you'd happily throw Andrew under the bus. Think of it, actually, if you were King Charles, Andrew would just simply be an annoying headache to you. Well, much more than just an annoying headache, but it would just be an annoyance, wouldn't it? It would just be like, oh, I wish it would all just go away. I wish you just sort of didn't exist at this point. Yeah, it's gonna have to be his job, a damage limitation. It's damage limitation exercises all round, isn't it? Yeah, if part of the damage limitation exercise is to finally cooperate with the police, then that's what's got to happen, I imagine. Yeah, I don't think at this point he's got much option but to throw him under the bus, has he? Like, how much could the king still just stonewall the police? Not very much. It'd be more scandalous if he didn't, wouldn't it? Much more scandalous. Well, it'd be a true constitutional crisis if the king actively stood in the way of a police investigation in any way, or was found to have tried to have destroyed evidence or something. Then that's it's a constitutional crisis. That's like the question of monarchy itself would be brought into question, front and centre, sort of thing. So he hasn't really got a choice, as far as I can tell, as far as I can see. All right, let's have a look at the actual websites, and we'll pass over any Starmer stuff, because we've already done that. What else did we have? There was a couple of... Oh, yeah, okay. Ghislaine Maxwell refuses to answer questions about Epstein in congressional hearings. So finally there was a congressional hearing where Ghislaine Maxwell was supposed to say, be quizzed on the Hill from prison, all about Jeff. And we'd hoped there'd be more info, but she just simply pleaded the Fifth
I
endlessly.
My Fifth Amendment right to silence.
Ms. Maxwell, were you a close friend and confidant of Jeffrey Epstein?
I would like to answer your question, but on the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer this question and any related questions. My habeas petition is pending in the Southern District of New York. I therefore invoke my right to silence under the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Let the record reflect that Ms. Maxwell has invoked the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination. Ms. Maxwell, please be very clear. Are you declining to answer the question put to you solely on the ground that you believe the answer will incriminate you?
I invoke my Fifth Amendment right to silence.
You get it. You get it. That's all that happened over and over again. They tried to question her more. And she just said, I plead the Fifth. But why exactly are you pleading the Fifth? I plead the Fifth. Just that, over and over and over and over again. Complete Stonewall. Stonewall Jackson. She Stonewall Jacksoned it. What a scumbag. What an absolute scummer. Do you want to tell us about your father's sort of state funeral in Israel? I plead the Fifth. Do you have any connection to the Israeli intelligence services? Fifth. Did Jeffrey? Fifth. There you go. That's what we're dealing with. That's what it is. All right, that actress Catherine O'Hara, she died in sort of odd circumstances. That's the mum from Home Alone, isn't it? Kevin! Yeah, she died in some extraordinary circumstances. I'm not sure exactly. Okay, all right. Trump wants to own half a bridge. They're going to build a bridge or renovate a bridge to Canada. And Trump wants to own half of it. Apparently that's beyond the pale. The TDS victims saying that's mad, that's megalomania, that is. Just nonsense. ITV News. Was there anything particular in the ITV News? No, just the Ghislaine thing again. Sky News. Sky News, yeah, no. The Mail had something of interest. Epstein bombshell as 9-year-old victim and, quote, senior government official, quote, America, this is in America, by the way, a senior American government official are revealed in redacted files. I did have a look at that article. I did scan it. I don't think it's revealed who that senior government official is. But yeah, victim as young as 9. Terrible. Oh, here's a little bit of extra data point about the West Streeting thing. It says, coup plotter. It wasn't a coup, was it? It really wasn't. He fell in line. So how you could describe that as a coup, but okay. Clue plotter Streeting faces Starmer at cabinet. There's going to be a cabinet meeting today. In fact, apparently it's going to be at 9 a.m, which is only a few minutes from now. In about quarter of an hour, there's going to be a cabinet meeting. Oh, that's another quick thing to say, that the cabinet secretary, Chris Warmold, there's been talk that he might resign. Well, there's been talk that he's thinking of resigning for months, but that he might resign sort of imminently, like today or this week or something. The cabinet secretary, if anyone doesn't know, that's a super powerful, that's the head of the civil service. You know, like the most powerful person in the civil service. The cabinet secretary is like some sort of god in the civil service. Nearly everything goes through them, right? Say there's a massive terrorist attack and like Cobra is called, right? Most things are coordinated through the cabinet secretary. Loads of the business of government doesn't even touch ministers or the prime minister, like lesser stuff. It just goes through the cabinet office and the cabinet secretary. They're insanely powerful. So if the cabinet secretary resigns, that's sort of giant to me. That's even bigger than Morgan McSweeney or something, or Tim the Toolman Taylor, Tim Allen, resigning. That's huge. That's like, that is really the even Whitehall, not just your own cabinet, not just your own party, but Whitehall itself doesn't want you to be the leader of government anymore. That's what that sort of says. Okay, but the PM is too weak to sack man who tried to orchestrate his downfall as he gathers what's left of his government. Yeah, in a normal state of affairs, in a normal government with sort of a normal degree or level of power and authority, Starmer would have sacked Streeting ages ago. Whenever there's a whisper, even a whisper, of someone trying to undermine your authority in cabinet and they're ambitious, you get rid of them. Like, why, where's Streeting and Angela Rayner are still around at all at the top of power? Why was Streeting still in cabinet? Well, because his position is super weak. It makes him look even weaker if you fired him now at this point. Right? Why Keir Starmer hasn't removed that Anna Sawa as leader of the Scottish Labour? Again, the second, it should be, that the second Keir Starmer hears that Sawa has said he needs to go, you fire him. Sort of like that minute. You put together a briefing within an hour or something. But that hasn't happened yet. Just shows how weak Starmer's position is. But there you go. All right. I realise we're sort of getting towards the end of the hour, so let's move a little bit quicker. In the Express, Fergie just brutally humiliated Eugenie, her own daughter, Princess Eugenie, and left us all reaching for the sick bucket. To hear a mother gossiping about her 19-year-old daughter's sex life in emails to a convicted paedophile is bile-inducing. Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, it really is. There's a story there. Nigel Farage has made an outrageous promise and it's about to blow up. It's a nothing burger. I had a look at what was that, you know. I clicked on that. I was like, oh, what's that then? It's nothing. It's nothing. Complete nothing burger. Okay. The Sun. Oh, look, I got a picture of Starmer looking unhappy in the back of his prime ministerial Jag. I think it's a Jag. They still drive around in Jags. I don't know. This is my fight. Yeah, he looks tired, doesn't he? He's tired. Although, that's the thing, you can get captured. When you take a still image, you either got one of those cameras that are like, you know, take 50 photos in 1 second, or it's just footage. You can take a still of any of it. It's really, really easy to catch someone looking a bit monged out. When in fact, in real time, in reality, there was no such thing. Like, he might just be mid-blink there. He's not actually really, really tired and really, really depressed and broken and beaten, like that expression looks like. He might just be mid-blink. There you go, that's what the papers do. That's what the papers do. Yeah, the mum from Home Alone passed away. There was one story here. Oh, Rose West. Rose West is still an insane, sadistic monster. Yeah. She's still a sex predator. This story, just a little story, it's only a one-off thing, but I think it's funny. Look, the Italian job. Boom! Whoa, what was that? It's actually a remarkable thing. In Italy, a bunch of actual, like, criminals like that, like, from Heat. It's like it's something out of Heat, isn't it? They stopped a van full of cash at, like, 8 a.m. on an Italian motorway, you know, like, screeched in front of it and made it stop, and then, like, put a bomb on the back of it, to blow the bloody doors off, like the Italian job. And there you go, they did it, they happened. It's cool, because no one was hurt. But even that big explosion didn't actually, like, blow the doors off properly, or it didn't, like, blow the inner cage inside the van open, and so they didn't get any money, they didn't get any cash. But they did get away. Like, right now, as of that story being published, they're still on the lam, they're still on the run, and there's, like, a manhunt for them in Italy. Interesting though, isn't it? The fact that no one was hurt means we can just say, I can just say, that's cool. That's a cool clip. You know, if someone was hurt or wounded or killed in that, you'd be like, oh, that's a tragedy. But as they weren't, yeah, actual criminals with AKs and balaclavas. Well, there you go. There you go. That happened. That happened. All right, let's move on. Are you going to jump across the pond? The New York Slimes. Newly unbound, Trump weighs more nuclear arms and underground tests. Yeah, because the New START treaty that the Americans had with the Russians about limiting all sorts of nuclear research and tests, as it came to an end. You're supposed to sort of renew it or have a new treaty. Well, that's been the paradigm for the last few decades. Trump just sort of let it expire, basically. And now that story, at least, is saying that he's going to do more tests, more underground tests. I wonder if they'll use the Nevada test site. It's only about 70 miles away from Nevada, or the closest bit of it is, anyway. It's a giant area. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Trump threatens to block opening of new bridge to Canada. Right, okay. The Post, the Washington Post. Justice Department seeks to undo Bannon's conviction for defying January the 6th subpoena. Yeah, if you remember that. That Bannon went to prison, didn't he? Because of that. They asked him to... He was subpoenaed. He was supposed to come and answer questions about January 6th. Didn't. And so that in and of itself is a crime, and... He went to prison briefly, didn't he? Or not all that briefly. I can't even remember how long he served. But it wasn't years and years and years. But it was quite a while. It was a reasonable while. He went to prison. And he's now like a convicted criminal. Like, people can say that, can't they? But the Justice Department seeks to undo it. I don't know, Bannon gone down in my estimate. I used to be, still am really a big fan of Bannon. But those pictures of him in Epstein's New York mansion, taking pictures, all smiles and hugs, with Woody Allen and Epstein. Doesn't sit well with me. Doesn't sit well with me. Nonetheless, on other stuff, he's very good, I think. His sort of view, his world view, his view on sort of China and immigration and stuff, I do very much agree with. All right, let's have a look what's going on down under. Are you? Anthony Albanese fails to condemn Grace Tame. I don't know who Grace Tame is. But Grace Tame's globalise the Intifada chant. Anthony Albanese has pushed back on calls to condemn Grace Tame for leading protesters in chanting globalise the Intifada. The Intifada is like the struggle of Palestinian people against Israel. Not that I don't think Israel haven't done anything wrong and don't act terribly in sort of the West Bank and Gaza and all that sort of thing. The whole thing is an S show from start to finish, isn't it? I'm not in favour of the Intifada. Well, just Muslim terrorism then. Globalise that. Whoever that Grace Tame is, globalise that. And the Aussie leader won't condemn that? Why on earth not? Why on earth not? Ugh, what a pipsqueak. What a pipsqueak. All right, let's have a look. Japan, not much in Japan today. China might change the trend. Someone on Twitter said, do a different Chinese website. There are other better Chinese websites to look at that are slightly less dry than Xinhua. And we will do that going forward. Hopefully, maybe from tomorrow. We started having a look at it, but we didn't choose a great one. So perhaps going forward. The Russians, super quick look at the Russians. Trump demands half ownership of bridge between US and China. Okay, we've done that. The Germans build pure slop. So, almost funny. Well, not funny, but... Conductor beaten to death. This guy in Germany beat a train conductor to death. And just hours earlier, the alleged perpetrator rioted on another train. Oh, did he? All right. Very German-looking guy, isn't he? I wonder if he's from Bavaria or Prussia. Bild reporter goes on nudist cruise. Oh, good. Great. Interesting. Every woman in Germany experience violence. Every day, women in Germany experience violence. Yeah, if you're going to import millions of Syrians and stuff. Yeah, you're going to import millions of people from countries where you are violent and repressive towards women, then that's what you'll get. Yeah. Not just all native German men have become, in the last 10, 15 years, in the last generation, have become extremely violent towards women. That's not what's happened, is it? That's not what's happened. And yet, according to the headline, everyday women in Germany experience violence. Okay. The French, the froggies, what are they saying? Emmanuel Macron, now is the time for the EU to launch a joint borrowing capacity through Eurobonds. Yeah, if you say so. Yeah, okay, Macron. You haven't got very much longer left in power, Macron. But yet you want the Eurozone, you want the Euro countries to just borrow tons more money, even though they're already massively indebted and the whole structure of the European project, financially speaking, is a house of cards. But you want them to borrow more, do you? Thank God we left Europe. Thank God. 2 days ahead of a meeting of European Union heads of state and government in Brussels, the President of France called on the 27 member states in an interview with Le Monde and several other European newspapers to make joint investments in protecting the environment. Need to borrow more to protect the environment. As well as in artificial intelligence and quantum technology to avoid falling behind. Don't know what you're doing, you silly little weirdo little boy. All right, let's have a quick look at space. There was one space story I thought was interesting. Oh, yes. Musk says SpaceX focus is on Moon rather than Mars. Because it was only about a year ago or so when Musk has said, we've got to focus on Mars, not the Moon. We've got to think about looking straight for Mars. Keep your eye on the prize, Mars. Well, now he's saying, according to this story anyway, Musk says that SpaceX must focus on the Moon rather than Mars. I mean, that makes sense, though, because as I understand it, any Mars mission will require all sorts of infrastructure on the Moon or in orbit around the Moon. We're going to need loads of space stations and infrastructure in low Earth orbit where they can refuel many, many starships in low Earth orbit. You blast off to the Moon. There'll be a permanent base, whether permanently manned or not, semi-permanently manned, but certainly a permanent base on the Moon, where you might refuel again. And then from Moon orbit, that's where you finally make the final push out to Mars itself, from lunar orbit, at exactly the right moment, sort of a thing. So yeah, you'll need tons of stuff on the Moon in order to go to Mars. There are plans, there's an idea of being able to go straight to Mars from Earth. But okay, all right. Let's have a look at this day in history. Because I like doing that, as you guys do. On the 10th of February, in the year 60 AD, St. Paul is thought to have shipwrecked at Malta. That is the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus. So there you go, in 60 AD. On this day, on 1720, Edmund Halley is appointed as the second Astronomer Royal at the Greenwich Observatory. That is of Halley's comet fame. Very, very important astronomer. Fascinating life. What he did. The difference between our understanding of the cosmos when Halley was a small boy compared to by the time of his death. Night and day. Very, very important, interesting person in life, Edmund Halley. All right, on this day in 1763, the Treaty of Paris ends the French Indian War. France agrees to surrender Canada to Great Britain. Yeah, that's a big one. That's an important war. I mean, all that leads directly into the War of Independence. That's the war, or it's part of the Seven Years' War. It's just the American theatre of that war. Where after that, the Parliament sort of insists that the 13 colonies, later to become the United States, we sort of started insisting that they should start paying for their own defence, because it nearly bankrupted us, that war, that global war. It's like a global war, really. Just one part of it was in the New World, in the Americas, the French Indian part of it. But the Americans, the colonists... didn't like paying extra taxes without representation in Parliament. And on and on and on, the rest is history. On this day in 1824, Simon Bolivar is named dictator by the Congress of Peru. I've been threatening to, and I will do some content about the life and career of Simon Bolivar, absolutely fascinating character, on my show, Epochs, Bodade's Epochs, which is a purely history-themed show on Lotus Eaters. LotusEaters.com. Head over to LotusEaters.com. Consider becoming a member of the website for as little as £5 a month. Bronze tier member. Behind the paywall there for as little as £5 a month. There's hundreds and hundreds of hours of me talking about history, Josh talking about psychology, Stelios talking about philosophy, Dan talking about economics, Luca talking about literature, and on and on and on and on. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of quality content. The best stuff is the history stuff with me. Anyway, it's the 250th episode, actually, this coming Sunday. And I've been threatening to, and will do, an episode, if not a mini-series, all about Simon Bolivar. People that are from South America or Central America will know all about Simon Bolivar, will be very, very knowledgeable about him. But most Europeans, most people don't know a great deal about him. But it's an unbelievable life, sort of an unbelievable set of events he lived through and took part in. Okay, on this day in 1906, the British battleship HMS Dreadnought launches after only 100 days and renders all other capital ships obsolete with its revolutionary design. Yeah, any people out there that are big fans of naval history, I am. HMS Dreadnought is sort of a sea change, isn't it? It's sort of, there's the world of capital ships, battleships or whatever, before HMS Dreadnought and after cruisers, destroyers. It made everything else obsolete. HMS Dreadnought, there, okay. In 1952, India holds its first general election and Prime Minister Nehru remains in power. Okay, in 1989, the WWF, that's the World Wrestling Federation, not the thing to do with wildlife and stuff, the WWF, admits pro wrestling is an exhibition and not a sport in a New Jersey court to gain deregulation. So Vince decided to save a whole bunch of money and headaches one way or another. They will admit in open court that it's not really real. I mean, it's real. You can't fake being smashed in the head with a chair so loud that it rings around a stadium. Right? That's not fake. But obviously the storylines and loads of it is. I always think it's interesting when you see wrestlers, professional wrestlers, get all angry when someone says it's fake. Shut up. We can tell some of the bumps are not fake. Right, you can't fake jumping off the top turnbuckle and landing on your back. Right, that's not fake. Okay, right. A big slap across the chest. Right, that's not fake. Okay, sure. But in general, in a meta sense, it's as fake as it could get. Why'd you pretend you don't understand that distinction? Some of these wrestlers. All right. In 1993, Michael Jackson talks to Oprah Winfrey, airs on ABC and draws an astounding 90 million people watching it. Finally, on this day in 1942, Glenn Miller and his orchestra are awarded the first ever gold record for selling 1 million copies of The Chattanooga Choo Choo. The Chattanooga Choo Choo. All right, there you go. That's the show. We are now 3 minutes past nine. Let's get into the Rumble rants and Super Chats. On the Rumble, what have we got? Bone Apple Tea Party says, the king is preparing to give his brother a new life. The Duke of Wormwood Scrubs, yeah. I'll turn you into a prince. A prince of the land of stench. Yeah, turn him into the Duke of Wormwood Scrubs. Yeah, funny. Yeah. Johnny Logo says, I was hoping to wake up to some good news, but Starmer is still here. Yeah, he's still here, clinging on. Clinging on for dear life. Don't worry, you'll wake up one day relatively soon, I would have thought. Even if it's as late as May. It will happen. Kalergi says, and this is, they say Starmer, and in quotes, so Starmer saying, I've never lost a fight I've been in. Also Starmer, have that granny who just said my policies are ruining the country thrown in jail. Yeah. Yeah, right, I mean, I will be celebrating when he leaves. The only reason why I wouldn't be celebrating really hard is it will just be another idiot globalist scumbag, won't it? Like David Lammy or Angela Rayner or something or other. None of them will have the guts to call a general election. I wouldn't have thought, you know, that take might prove wrong, but I highly suspect whoever takes over from him won't call a general election. So we'll just have more of the same, effectively, one way or another. If his government did fall and he resigned and then a general election was called, then I'll be breaking open the bubbly. I'll go and buy a bottle of Tattinger or something. Break it open. Some strawberries. All right. Ryan Hinnigan says, how big were ships in the Age of Sail? I saw a picture of a Spanish flag captured at Trafalgar that's like 8 people long and it took it looks minuscule in the painting of the battle. Okay, yeah, so what, the biggest ships in the Age of Sail? Well, the Spanish had the biggest ever ship. It was a Spanish ship. I think it had like 4 decks. And yeah, it's massive. Like, it's a few hundred men are the crew. Hundreds. What was it called? I can't say the swear word because I can't remember what the actual Spanish name for it is. But the translation is it's the fire shitter. That was what it's called. 4 decks of cannons. But yeah, like the biggest ships Britain had, which weren't much smaller, first-rate ship of the lines, you know, something like the Victory or the Agamemnon or something. Yeah, still pretty damn massive, yeah. Yeah, I mean, tiny compared to modern battleships or 20th century battleships or anything. Absolutely tiny compared to a Ford-class aircraft carrier. But still, you know, hundreds of feet long, hundreds and hundreds of crew members, 3 decks. Just cannon decks. There's many more decks than that. I could just talk about that for a long, long time, but I won't. I've got, again, on Epochs, I've got all sorts of content talking about Nelson and the Age of Nelson. Talk all about the biggest, most badass ships towards the end of the Age of Sail in that. Got a bit of content with Luca talking about Hornblower. So we're going into a little bit of detail there. Okay, the YouTube Super Chats. Luke Stewart 6155 says, good day, Bo. I thought King Charles already threw his brother under the bus when this first came out. And did you see the Super Chat I sent at the end of yesterday's stream? I don't know. When I came out of the studio yesterday, Harry did say to me, oh, someone's just sent another Super Chat. It was sort of too late. So sorry, it's too late. That is one thing to say to people. If you do want to send a super chat, if you send it in whilst I'm reading the super chats, I'll see it and we'll read it. But if you send it after, I can't. I actually can't. So sorry about that. If you sent a super chat after the show had ended, what can I do? And like, I haven't got the screen. I couldn't bring it up now. Or could you, Harry? I've got no idea about this. I'm genuinely learning this for the new time. Harry, can you bring up a screen from yesterday that shows that super chat?
I can have a little look while you're...
We can have a look. Luke Stewart, we can have a look. Stay tuned. All right. What was the other thing you said? Did King Charles already throw him under the bus? Well, yeah, basically, hasn't he? I mean, not in terms of sort of helping with a police investigation, but he's already, yeah, stripped him. They've stripped him so much, haven't they? So in that sense, you're right. They have still... they have still thrown him under the bus, largely. Yeah. Okay, Principled Uncertainty says, it's worth noting that before the Falklands War, Thatcher was the least popular Prime Minister ever, which is somewhat worrying. Yeah, that is an interesting data point, isn't it? That's an interesting fact that comes up from time to time. But Thatcher was deeply unpopular, then the Falklands, and she became the second most popular Prime Minister of all time after Churchill at that point. I guess the point you're making is that you could turn it around. Starmer could turn things around. I mean, in a general sense, you've got a point. But I think in this case, not likely at all. What's Starmer going to do? Like, do something that suddenly the whole country just sees him in a new light suddenly. Oh, we're dealing with someone that we didn't think we were dealing with. This is a whole new man. And we love it. Don't see it happening. Your point's valid, but I don't see it happening in this case. Luke Stewart again for 615 has said, This is a cool idea for taking one of the SpaceX Starships and flipping it on the side and turning it into a moon base. Yeah, that's one of the ideas. Yeah, that Starships themselves will be exactly that. Whether they'll be upright or actually on their side or whatever, but yeah, that they'll become habitation modules on the surface of the moon. Yeah, I've definitely seen that idea one way or another has been out there for a long time, and it may well work. Did we just have a technical problem there? Are we having technical problems, Harry? Or is it just my screens?
Oh, sorry. Should be better now.
Okay, all right. Only a couple more super chats here. We've got Global Church History says, on this day next year, Lammy is made Lord Protector. Don't. Please, don't even say things like that. No, it's funny. But makes my skin crawl. Ugh. Bad taste in my mouth. Just thinking of that. All right, and the last one here, we've only got a few minutes to see if we can sort out Luke Stewart's chat from yesterday. The last one says, and it's from, God, how what is that name? People have got such funny names sometimes. What is that? Radimnichut 519. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. I don't know how I'm supposed to read that. Anyway, thanks for the money there. They said, didn't the Chinese or Japanese have at one point even bigger ships? Oh, like, okay, I see what you said. Yeah, I think there's talk of, like, Chinese junks, giant Chinese ships from, yeah, like the, what, like the 17th century, would it be, or 18th century? But, like, would, yeah. Yeah, there's some, not the Japanese, I don't think, but the Chinese. Yeah, I was talking, fair point, actually, but I was talking more about, like when someone says the age of sail, my mind just goes straight to the European powers. But maybe it's a fair point. Perhaps the Chinese did have at some point an actual larger vessel than the largest Spanish ship of the line. Maybe they did. When I was doing my thing about Magellan on Epochs of the Lotus Eaters, how many episodes was the Magellan thing? 10, 20? I can't even remember. Massive long series all about Magellan, and in that I talk a bit about sort of late Middle Ages Chinese Navy in there. Perhaps they did have something bigger. All right, we have got, Harry has been able to retrieve, Luke Stewart, he has been able to retrieve some sort of screenshot of what you said yesterday for 31 Aussie bucks. So we should read it out. And you wrote, I was talking about the Japanese lady. Okay, so you said something about she and Trump did something. I didn't understand what you were talking about. But actually, later in the day, when I was reminiscing about it, I was like, oh, obviously he was talking about the Takeuchi, the Chinese, the Japanese prime minister. And then you've corrected me. I was talking about the Japanese lady. Big Harry seems to always complain about Trump being bad for conservatives everywhere else. And Stephen Bradley won the gold medal because everyone crashed at the end. Oh, Stephen Bradley, the Aussie athlete. Yeah, there is that angle, isn't there? That Trump's just toxic. If Trump ever endorses you, wherever you are in the world, foreign leaders, if Trump endorses you, it's so toxic. Well, not in the case of the Japanese Iron Lady, because they're symbiotic. They both support each other to the hilt. Well, it didn't hurt her, did it? She won a landslide with it. Because the Japanese quite like nativist sentiment, don't they? So it didn't hurt her at all. Good point. All right, that's the show. We are now at 13 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Tuesday, the 10th of February, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You have been the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for watching. Without you, it isn't a thing. Thank you so much. Try and make the best of the day ahead. You've only got it once. You've got a finite number of days in this world. Carpe diem, seize the day. Grab it by the scruff of the neck. Make it count. Do something that counts. If you can. All right, then. Until tomorrow morning, take care.
Hanging out at the pool is great. relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.